I'm sat with Peter Murphy. I was on the way into London. I have meetings today. A window came up and we decided to get together. Where are we and what do you do?
Hi, I'm Pete Murphy. I'm Director of Communications at the Commonwealth Games Federation. And right now, just talking to Christian, because I gave him a ring a couple of hours ago, and wanted Christian to come in and talk to us, A, about social media, and B, about social media policy for the Commonwealth Games, and particularly how we can go about having a really intelligent and workable policy that avoids some of the pitfalls that our colleagues over at the Olympics have experienced in the last few weeks.
Now, you know what they must be going through in a way, because, and you know this stuff. Yeah. I mean, I can see what you've done in a very small amount of time with the new website. Give us the URL.
The www.thecgf.com.
And you've got, and you know, everything kind of plugged in, ready for content and conversations. You're doing interviews across Twitter with athletes, and you come from quite an interesting background. Is it right you're the person that wrote the words to the speech potentially heard by more people than any other in humanity?
I don't think you could. I think it'd be a hard one to prove, but I wrote Jacques Rogue's speech for the opening ceremony of the Beijing 2008 Olympic Games when I worked at the IOC. And so I'm told that those are the words, or amongst the top four or five speeches heard by the most number of people in the world. And, you know, it's interesting. We've got more and more ways of connecting with people if you organise a sports event. But, you know, one of the challenges that certainly they're experiencing in the Olympics, you can see that right now, is just balancing the demands and the needs and the contracts that exist between broadcasters, rights holders, sponsors, the public, the athletes, and you know, it's difficult.
Do you have the same kind of money issues, shall we say, that the Olympics have? I mean, there's a massive focus on bringing in as much cash as possible, sure. And some people say that's gotten in the way of the spirit. How differently is the Commonwealth Games? How do you work?
Yeah, I mean, clearly the Commonwealth Games is clearly a lot less commercialised than the Olympic Games. The individual organisers, you know, right now we're looking at Glasgow 2014 and Gold Coast 2018, so individual games, individual organisers do have sponsorship arrangements, we have commercial arrangements. But to put that in perspective, you know, everything that exists with the International Olympic Committee, what it calls its top, or the Olympic Partner Programme, which is worldwide Olympic sponsors, Coca-Cola, Samsung, Panasonic, Dow Chemical, you know, I think they've got 12 major top sponsors. Now, to compare that with the Commonwealth Games, we have zero. There are no commercial sponsors of the Commonwealth Games that function worldwide. We don't accept sponsorship. And, you know, that goes into the ethos of the Commonwealth Games, where we are not a sports, I hate the word franchise, but we're not a franchise designed to raise funds for sports. We're designed to place sport at the service of the Commonwealth and to unite the Commonwealth. We don't bring the world together. We reunite a family every 4 years. And so we've got a different ethos. That's why we're called the Friendly Games. And it goes right back to the original constitution of the Commonwealth Games. When we were set up in 1928, the very first words in our constitution compare us to other sports events, and they say that we should be merrier and less stern than other athletic competition. And that's the difference between the Commonwealth Games and everybody else. We are forbidden from taking ourselves too seriously.
Well, kind of reflects this meeting in a way. We came in and all I've done is learn a lot about documentary photography, which you did your degree in with the great David Hearn, a friend of mine and yours, and so many weird and interesting conversations. I particularly love some of your stories actually around some of your experiences during these events. I mean, you were stood, tell me about the line of people.
Yeah, I remember being in Beijing in 2008 and being stood between the Aquatic Centre and the Bird's Nest Stadium on Tuesday morning and seeing a long line of soldiers that just went off into the distance. And when I asked the interpreter, I said, you know, is this, have we got a VIP arriving? Is there a big event? And she went off and asked, and she came back and she said, no, it's just a long line of soldiers. And I said, well, why have you got that? And she said, it's the longest ever line of people. And people were taking photographs of it and stuff. And I said, well, how long is it? She said, it's 1,700 miles long. It's a line of soldiers 1,700 miles long. And it's got 2.1 million soldiers in it. Why have you done that? Well, we just thought it would be an interesting thing to have on a Tuesday morning. And you are just looking at it going, that is, I mean, it's almost comedic in the sense that it plays into everything you think of about China. But it was a photo opportunity for, the People's Liberation Army and for them locally. It was designed to be a local Chinese-only event, but you're just there going...
How do you localise such a huge line?
Extraordinary. Just extraordinary. What will we do today? Let's just have a big, long line of people.
Oh, I've seen certain budget airlines attempt to beat that record, yeah, which I'm sometimes standing...
I think immigration at Heathrow is trying to beat it on occasion, aren't they?
Oh, fantastic. Well, I hope our conversations can continue on. They're going to have to be another day. I'm winging my way across London, but I'm so glad to have had this introduction and... And yeah, I'm looking forward to future stuff.
Sure. Okay, good to meet you.